Hey, is that us?
That is us.
Are we back in the room?
We're now back in the room.
Do you want to just tell us about Lady Antebellum?
Lady Antebellum.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, before we took our little break there for the music to play and the ads and what have you, I said Lady Antebellum was a... I thought she was going to be French. I thought it was going to be a French lady. You know, like an old, you know, that kind of thing. No, it's
that
not.
Was very good.
Yeah. It's an American country music group, so I do apologise for that. But it was just because of the name. The name was very posh almost, wasn't it? Very Francois. I was thinking very, like a passionate song, but it wasn't. It was a Western group. That's so...
There are worse things you could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, but no, that just really surprised me. It's a very strange name for a band.
Okay, look, there's lots of things we want to talk about. We may be talking to the main man at Southern Vectis at some point between now and 1 o'clock.
Okay.
We're going to do an interview with them maybe about just after 12:30. We're asking the question, who do we trust when it comes down to not just politicians, but everybody. Who do we trust these days? We're going to big up good service. I've got a couple of stories to tell about service that I've had in the last week or so. One of the things I never said last week, I wanted to talk about this, and I thought, well, should I say anything? Should I not?
Yeah.
Is this bloke's business? Should I? Well, you can tell the story, but you don't have to name him.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know how technical you are. But when it comes down to finding a way to do things with regards to, just say for instance, I've got myself an iPod at home.
Okay.
And I've got myself, because it was quite expensive, I've got myself an iPod cover. Now, which is a little plastic see-through thing, just explaining the situation. And we've also got, like, something that you can put your iPod onto, docking station.
Okay. One of them, yeah.
And then it plays the music.
Yeah, plays it out loud because it has the speakers with it.
It also charges it up as well.
Yeah,
it's a wonderful thing. But the minute you put a case on it, it doesn't fit on the on the actual docking station itself,
because
you can't fit it over the connector. Okay,
so it's the wrong size for the
the connector doesn't see or doesn't it doesn't you can't get past the case, because there's no space enough for it. It's saying, hey, look, you've got a case there, and it's like stopping it. You can't push it down far enough. Okay, because the case prevents
it. That's
okay.
Fine.
So I thought, well, I'll look into this, and I looked onto the internet, and I had a little look, and it sort of told me that there was a lead that you can have, like an extension lead.
Yeah.
So you've got the lightning one end. You've got this, haven't you?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So you've got the smaller square sort of 28 or 32 pin thing that you've got. And then you've got the female end, this lead that you could buy. So you could actually extend the docking station.
From the other,
so you can slot it over and then slot it in to your iPad. So I went into this shop and I explained what I wanted. No chance, you won't get one of them, mate. And I said, no, I've come out today to buy one. I said, or order one. And he said, no, you won't get one of those. And I said...
And you can go on eBay and find something like
that,
can't you?
He said, but I wanted to go local.
Yeah.
So anyway, he said, look, you don't want that, you want this. No, I don't want that. I know exactly what I want. I'm not an idiot. Exactly what I want.
Trying to sell you something, yeah.
This guy then turned... My wife was sort of 5 feet behind me, and he said, excuse me, love, can I talk to someone intelligent? He don't really understand. And he started pointing like, you know, as if I'm an idiot, as if I'm a fool. I said, look, not being funny. I said, I'm not an idiot. I know exactly what I want, and it's not what you're trying to sell me.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, what the rule should be for someone like that is the customer's always right.
Absolutely.
Even if the customer is wrong, you have to try and steer them in the right direction. You can't just say... You're a fool. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
That means you're being biggest about yourself. But to
then like completely ignore me as if my wife's my carer.
Yeah,
you know, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
And my wife then at that point she kicked me in the back of the leg, pinched my bum, and said, "Rein it in, rein it in." And I said, "Look, I can see one. Look, I said, you got a computer there. Type in," and I gave him the words. Type in, and he said, oh, blow me down. There is such a thing.
Yeah.
There is such a thing. And do you know what? Within 2 minutes, He then not only accepted that there was a lead,
yeah,
he even went into PC World to ask him about the very same lead that I was asking about.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, hang on a minute, so you knew that there was a lead out there and you also wanted it as well, but you obviously went into a place of maybe they treated you like an idiot, so you're now trying to treat me like one.
Wow.
Anyway, he said, look, I can order you one in. And I said, no, it's not been the best experience. I won't be back again, thanks anyway.
Yeah.
And left very politely.
Yeah.
I wanted to chin the bloke.
Yeah, I bet.
Okay.
Talking down to you.
There were people on the phones. Yeah. Obviously, you know, we had to get this story out first. I didn't want to bore them with that and make it cost their telephone bill a lot more. So yeah, if you wanted to call back, you can. 240-666. 240-266 is the number. 240-2... No, hang on. 240-666.
Do you need the number's right here, Ian. Yeah. Can't you see it's in the studio?
Oh, yeah, it's big enough, isn't it? In great big letters, digits. 240-666. Okay, you can give us a call now. We're talking about the service, bad service. I've had some brilliant service in the last couple of days. It was brilliant service at Hamilton's on Saturday. Bloke walked in, as I said earlier on. Yeah. Bloke walked in and said, let's have a look at your belly pork, mate. So he got the belly pork out, chopped that bit off, and I'll have that. He chopped it off and then said, no, I don't want it, mate, and walked out.
Yeah.
And these guys were so polite. Hamilton, the two butchers of Hamilton, I honestly applaud you, because yeah, your behaviour was absolutely impeccable. Most people would have got a bit snotty. I would have done, but they were so, so good.
Down to earth and gentlemanly. Yeah.
Go on, take the call.
Yeah, we got a call. So,
push the button.
Hello, who is this?
Is that how you answer the phone, is it?
Yeah, hello. Who's this?
Hello, who's this? That's good service, isn't it?
I'm terrible. I'm terrible with phones. This is Kaylee, isn't it?
Kaylee? Who?
Jackie.
Oh, I'm terrible with names. I'm so sorry.
Go on, Jackie.
Go ahead, tell us the story. You told me earlier.
Yeah. A strange sort of service that turned out to be a good day, what could have been a bad day. My cousin celebrated his 50th birthday on the 15th of February and had booked a while before the Sun Inn at Holverston for a birthday lunch with all his mates. And he had a phone call to say that there was another booking and they wouldn't be able to serve until about 3. Was that all right? And he said, no, that's fine, that's fine. You know, we'll have a few drinks. And they got to the pub. Only to be told that by the presumably the landlady, I'm awfully sorry, but we've had to close the pub. It's beyond our control, but because of this other booking. And he said, but I have booked this a long time ago. And she said, I know, I'm awfully sorry. She said, it's beyond my control. And he wasn't very happy. But she said, I'll tell you what, she said, my neighbours next door are away. If you like, we'll put some tables and chairs in their driveway and you can have your drinks and festivities there. So he said, that's fine, yeah, that's lovely, that'll be fine. So they shifted all the tables and chairs out into their driveway next door to the pub, and he said we started having our drinks and celebrations, and did a few songs, because he sings in a folk group. And he said after a while, people from the party in the pub came out and started to join in some of the singing. And then of course he realised it was Benedict Cumberbatch's wedding party. And at the end of it, Benedict Cumberbatch apologised to them for the inconvenience that they'd had to suffer and bought them all a round of drinks.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
So he said what turned out, what could have been a really quite not a very nice experience, actually did turn out very nice in the end. So yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it?
It's nice.
Wanted to know at the time, obviously, that was going on, as I don't think anybody else did know that was going on at that time.
Yeah, it's good when a famous person or someone who's well known kind of just treats anyone else like a normal person, isn't it? You know, they don't see themselves as high and mighty, and
I don't know quite how it all came out. Anyway, but at the end of the day, he said it was a memorable occasion for, you know, on more than one count. So he was more than happy with it. So yeah,
good.
There are some nice people around.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah,
Jackie, I've come to the conclusion that none of the people that are going to be probably going to be our Prime Minister, I don't trust any of them.
No.
But more importantly, I don't respect any of them, because all they do is blame each other.
Mm.
Who is there anybody in the world that you look at and think, right, anyone that is in the limelight, that you look at and you think
Queen.
The Queen, maybe she ought to run the country then. She'd probably do a better job. But I'm failing to see anybody that is in the limelight. There are some. I mean, I like Gary Lineker. I think he's a decent enough chap. But failing to see anybody that's in the limelight that I look at and think, I really trust you, and to the point where maybe you should run the country.
Off the top of my head, Jeremy Clarkson perhaps comes to mind.
that's one
another
person.
Silly thing that's blown out of all proportion, isn't it?
Well, I don't know whether it's blown out of all proportion or not. I think there's a little bit. I mean, I think there's more to that than meets
there
the
has
eye.
To be, doesn't there?
There must be. Mm. But then, could you have somebody that is, you know, running the country that goes around punching people and his dinner's not on the table?
If that is the
truth. I mean,
it's
I'd say
a sad state of affairs at the minute, and like you said before, it's all so backbiting, isn't it, all the time? It's all so juvenile, isn't it, the way they behave?
It is, and I say, I just really sad that these are the choices. They're the choices, and all they're doing is just highlighting what poor choices we've got.
I wonder
awful.
What would happen if absolutely nobody voted.
Wow.
How about
wow.
calling for a no vote?
There must be something we can do. There must be something we can do, because I honestly just think there's so much negativity around these people. All they do is lie, cheat, and blame each other.
Yeah.
You want somebody to take responsibility for their actions.
No. I don't know how on earth it would ever change, Ian, quite frankly.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely
right.
Perhaps
we should have a national no vote.
A national...
Just see what happens.
No vote.
Please, boycott it. Everybody boycott the general election. Nobody vote.
Yeah, I bet someone still gets in, though. Yeah, someone will somehow still get in.
Yeah. Did you see the story yesterday about Nigel? Nigel Farage was out in a pub having a drink with his family, and a load of protesters turned up, frightened his 10 and his 15-year-old.
Wow.
They ran off, and they had to be calmed down by another family member. Mm. I think, it's a story. But then I think it was the Daily Mail I was reading. It was quite amusing, actually, the way they write a story. They called his wife his current wife. They didn't say
nice.
I just look at it and think, hang on a minute. Mm. If you were to mention anybody else and you would mention their wife, you wouldn't call them their current wife.
No.
Yeah.
It honestly, the way they write things is disgusting, and the way they get
the
away with
I
it.
Find most disturbing still is all right, these people are very silly, these politicians that talk to other groups or newspapers that you think they'd know better, but the fact that these meetings are set up with hidden microphone, I think that's very, very underhand. I don't like that.
No, I don't
because
like
you
that.
Do believe you're going in to talk to somebody in confidence, don't you? And I think that's a huge betrayal. Whether they're doing right or whether they're doing wrong, it's a betrayal.
What they should be doing is getting the information and putting it out as information, not an opinion.
I don't like all this undercover stuff. They're still sending people in, aren't they, with cameras and microphones, and I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
Very wrong.
It's the world we live in, unfortunately, and I think it's really, really sad, and I think the powers that be have got to change the way that we do things.
I don't know how it'll ever change, Ian. I really don't. We could all pontificate and say what to do, but I can't see how it can change, quite frankly. Not certainly within this parliament or the next. I just don't know. It needs some huge revolution, I think.
I think massive changes. I mean, my idea was to... do you mind if we just take the
yeah,
next call?
Yeah, the second call.
And if you keep listening, I'll share my idea with you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thanks for your call, Jackie.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Shall we take the next call?
Yeah,
see what's going on?
All right. Hello? Who's this?
That's good service,
it's
isn't it?
Me.
Hang on, who's me?
Me's me.
Me's me.
Me's me.
Ah, hello, me's me.
No, me's me.
Is that me's me from Meeland?
Measleton.
I keep getting your personal assistant.
Oh, right, okay. Well, she's lovely.
Is he?
Oh, you're talking about me, are you now? Oh.
No, I'm talking about the guy that keeps answering the phone, John.
John out in the office. No. I'll tell you what, he's got some wonderful stories, is John.
No, he's beautiful, John.
Yeah,
he's
fabulous
very
man.
Efficient.
He's not supposed to answer the phone between 12 and 1.
He's very efficient.
Too efficient.
But he says you talk too much, Ian.
Yeah, no, you're probably right, actually. You're probably right. What can
Hello,
I do
Jackie,
for you?
Are you still there?
No, she's gone now.
Jackie.
Has she gone then?
Yeah.
Oh, right, mate. What was I going to say now? It's gone completely out of my head because you picked the phone up. Yeah. No, a patch lead, Ian.
A what, sorry?
A patch lead.
A patch lead. That's probably the lead he was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were talking
that's
about.
What's it called?
Patch leads.
Patch well, leads.
That's not the term that I was quoted at Amazon. When I
oh,
looked,
Amazon.
When I looked on there.
Can you name the shop you went into that belittled you?
Do you reckon I should?
Does it begin with M?
No.
No, I was going to say, because I found them to be very efficient.
No, it wasn't. It was only a small company. That's why I don't really want to name and shame them. But it was just the way that I was explaining a lead.
Yeah.
He was poo-pooing the idea and telling me, no, you don't want that. Yeah, I know exactly what I want.
Yeah.
No, you don't want that. Oh, no, I know exactly what I want and it's not that. Oh, excuse me, are you with him? Are you with him? Can I talk to someone intelligent?
Mm.
And I'm thinking, hang on a minute.
It's just degrading. Exactly.
But the daft thing is, within 2 minutes... He was then telling me that he was trying to get the same lead at PC World last week.
Did he apologise?
No. He continued to make out...
I reckon you're name and shame, mate.
Well, maybe I will by the time 1 o'clock comes round, but, you know, maybe I'll do that.
I was
going to
say, because it wasn't Maplin's then.
No, it wasn't Maplin's. Do you know what? Whenever I go into Maplin's, those young lads in Maplin's, they couldn't be more helpful.
No, I know. They're absolutely brilliant, mate. Like I said, we got a store over... Well, we got several stores over here, as you know. Nearest one's Andover, or there's one in Salisbury, and there's two in Southampton. But yeah, I've always found them to be absolutely spot on with everything you need.
Do you know what? There are certain companies, there are certain places that you go into on the island, and you couldn't get better service. They are nice, warm, and friendly. There are some that are quite bad and need some attention. But do you know what? I took the wife. His wife's birthday yesterday.
And happy birthday!
We took ourselves off to Southampton.
Okay. Oh, really?
We went to Southampton because I had bought her one of those Pandora bracelets.
Yeah, Charles bracelet.
And they don't have a Pandora shop on the island, sadly. Otherwise, I would use the local one. But anyway, it was bought it and it was too small. She's obviously put on a bit of weight around her wrist, and she's got a fatter wrist than I thought. So we had to take her back. Get her fitted again and take and have another one. They couldn't be more helpful. They were so polite. We then went into 2-3 other shops and we were talking to assistants. And you know what? There's a massive difference.
Oh, mate,
There really is. Yeah. And I'm not to say I don't like sitting here and saying this, but there are a number of shops on the island that really do need to improve their customer service. But there are a number that are leading the way still, which is good news.
Yeah.
Going back to Maplin's, are they an English company or are they American?
Do you know what? I don't know.
No, cause I remember I used to get the same sort of service and the supply of goods from Tandy. Do you remember Tandy?
There was a Tandy and Ride, and it was probably there until a few years ago.
They used to sell all sorts of CB radios to fixins to... Yeah. Patch leads to all sorts, mate.
One of the guys that used to work at Tandy, young chap... is a producer, a record producer now, and one of the bands one of the acts that he produced was Derek Sandy.
Oh, really?
I think he went into business with Derek Sandy, and he was like his right hand man.
Oh, right, yeah, because we used to have one over here. Well, the nearest one was Chandler's Ford.
Yeah,
and you could get anything. Like I said, if you needed something, that was the guys to go and see.
Yeah,
of
definitely.
Of course, that's before the internet, like Ian.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I look on the internet, see if it's available, and then if I can, I go. Because I said to the guy, last Saturday when I went in, I said, look, I've seen it on the internet. I thought I'd come to a local shop and see if I can get it.
Yeah.
And I can't believe your attitude.
Yeah.
That's not good, mate.
No.
It's not good.
No, and had he said, oh, well, I'll try and get it in for you. But no, that was, I had to fight him to do that.
Yeah.
And then he basically insulted me by saying, oh, let's talk to someone intelligent. And it turns out that he was he had gone into PC World and asked for exactly the same thing.
Yeah, apparently. I'm waiting for him to turn up in the pound shop, mate.
Won't be long.
They seem to be doing all sorts of, like, download leads and charging leads for iPhones, etc.
Here's a question for you, Keith.
Go on, mate.
We talk about trust, okay?
Yeah.
Now, when they say to you in the pound shop, here's an Apple lead, it only costs £1, and then you say, does it do exactly the same job? is it going to work properly? Will it mess up my Apple product? And they say, yeah, it works just exactly the same. Do you believe them?
I personally buy charging leads or down leads for my iPhone 4, and they're a pound.
Yeah.
Right? If I was to go into the Apple iPhone store to buy one, they're $14.95.
Right.
So if it costs me five, if they only, you know, if it costs me to buy five a year,
right,
they only last for so long, and then I have to buy another one, you know, I'm still saving myself £9 a year.
Yeah, but then if they mess up your phone, because no, they're not right.
I've never had any problems here with them. They always do the same job. Exactly the same job.
Okay.
Well, I've got a nice purple one at the moment.
Have you?
Yeah. Purple iPhone lead.
Brilliant.
You was on about who to trust.
Yeah.
I put down on your list Philip Schofield.
Right.
I reckon he seems to be an all-round good egg.
Well, do you know what? There aren't many of them, is there?
No, but he seems to be what you see, what you get.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Well, see, I have this... I looked at Phil Schofield and I thought, yeah, you come across a really, really nice bloke, and I had lots of respect for him when he came out and said, actually, I'm grey.
Yeah.
You know, after a few years of being on the TV and having lovely hair and a handsome fellow, all of a sudden he said, I'm actually grey. And this was quite a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've got massive respect for you because, I, you know, I've said this before, women dye their hair and do lots of different things to make themselves look lovely.
Yeah.
And I don't have an issue with that. But when a bloke does it, I kind of question his honesty.
Really?
Yeah.
Grecian 2000, wasn't it?
Well,
something that was amazing.
Well, see, I think, I mean, a lot of people make the joke and say, I dye my hair. I obviously don't. And it's quite funny. It makes me laugh, makes my wife laugh. And, you know, I just look at people and I think, okay, it's different. Women, it's different for women. It really is. It's different for women. They do it for reasons. I think men do it and it's deceitful. I don't know why. I just feel it. That's the way that it makes me feel.
I look at
like Alvin Stardust with boot polish.
Again, I'm guessing when people go on stage and they're singers and stuff like that, yes, I can understand to a point.
Yeah.
But when a politician does it, like Nick Clegg, about four years ago, I noticed that he'd obviously dyed his hair because it wasn't the same colour as it was the week before.
Yeah.
And I look at that and I think, right, how could I trust you? How can anybody trust you? You're dyeing your hair. You're a man and you're dyeing your hair.
It's because they try to look perfect, don't they? Perfect for everything and everyone.
Well, they all got to wear makeup when they go on telly anyway, ain't they?
Yeah. Everybody. Well, partial bits, don't they? They get their eyes and kind of face done a bit more brighter.
You get glare off your top of your head and things like that, don't you?
Oh.
But, Ian,
yeah.
you were on about you didn't like the way Jeremy Clarkson punched his, producer.
Yeah.
You're a promoter. How many times in the past have you had the diva turn up and didn't like the rider?
Didn't like the rider?
Yeah.
How do you mean the rider?
You know, the rider, what they ask for when you do a gig.
Right, okay. Well,
certain sandwiches, drinks, etc., you know, a packet of Smarties, that sort of thing.
I've never been in that position that sort of put on a gig for that. But at the same time, I think, well, hang on, it's just decency, isn't it? You know, your dinner's not ready or it ain't quite as you wanted it. Does that give you the right to stamp your feet and punch somebody in the face?
If the person's organising it, yes.
If it does give somebody the punch, I don't think anything gives the right way.
We don't know half the story. You know, how many times has this guy sort of cocked up in the past?
Yeah, well, he still don't warrant him getting a punch in the face, does it?
Mm. There's a lot of hidden agenda going on. All this is in the news, mate.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other things going on.
Sure, but then who do you trust? What do you trust? Do you trust what you're hearing? Do you trust what you read? At the end of the day, if you didn't cook your dinner and your wife came home and she said, where's my dinner, Keith? And you did it 5 days in a row and she smacked you in the mouth, most people would have sympathy for you.
Well, yeah, true, but like I'm saying, we don't know exactly what went on there.
Sure.
And also that, like I said, if it's an agenda that's... If it's part of what he's asked for at the end of the day and it's not there,
yeah,
then, you know, perhaps we don't know. This guy might have let him down several times.
So just say, for instance, if we say, right, OK, Black Pig's coming over to do a gig for Vectis Radio, OK, at the Riverside Centre, and you turn up and you say, right, I want pork pies all night long, OK, And there ain't pork pies all night long. You're going to get an hot dog and that's it, all right? You get upset and you punch me in the face. Is that acceptable?
No, I wouldn't.
Depends how bad the hot dogs are. Depends how bad the hot dogs are.
No, I'm just saying, you know, it's a lot. It's like, it's just what's been in the press at the moment. It's blown out of proportion.
Yeah, definitely.
They've been wanting to get rid of the guy for some time.
Yeah, I think he's a great story.
Oh,
I mean,
crikey, yeah.
When it comes down to the media.
You know, he's a funny guy. A witty guy.
I think that our media, unfortunately, I've said this before, it sounds like a broken record, but our media are half the problem. We've got problems in this country because they don't report the news as it is.
It's an opinion.
They put a twist on it and they spin it and they sex it up as much as they possibly can. They're supposed to report the news, not create it.
Yeah.
It's like at the moment, that dirty great big ship that's sat in the Stokes Bay area at the moment, the Solent. Why is it here?
Do you know what? I asked my wife that yesterday. She said, "You're so cynical."
No, I'm not cynical
at
all.
What is it here?
A couple of weeks ago, off the coast of Bournemouth,
yeah,
off down the Cornish coast there. What's been flying around?
Yeah.
This is just a show of support.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Something's going on.
Yeah.
Hey, look.
Lock up your daughters, Portsmouth.
Thanks for your call, Keith.
See you later, mate.
Cheers now.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, so this is what I put on my Facebook page earlier on.
Okay,
and I was bored last night. About 4 o'clock this morning, I couldn't sleep.
That's not a good thing if you're bored, Ian.
Have you noticed how all the politicians that want to be elected are now slagging off their opponents? Cameron, Clegg, Miliband, and many, many others too. They are playing the blame game. Blah, 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 which is very lame, which is part of blame. And plenty of me, 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 which is on the end of blame. Nobody wants to actually take any responsibility. Walking past the old Newport Youth Club yesterday, it's sad to see it. Bear with us. We've gone on a different trip here. We've gone from Newport Youth Club to you know, from politicians. Walking past the old Newport Youth Club yesterday, it's sad to see it boarded up. But it gave me an idea. Maybe we should board up the Houses of Parliament, Westminster, the House of Lords, the whole shebang. Will all of the maggots of Parliament, members of Parliament, see what we did there?
Yeah, very clever.
Inside, with a sign up on the outside, maggot infestation closed until we have it under control. To have a decently run country, you have to have decent people at the helm, and we don't have anybody in the running, only septic maggots that want to run others down if it gets them a little higher in the pecking order. And are there any decent people left in the world? Gary Lineker is a decent bloke, never got booked or sent off in a 20-year career, which at the time we didn't realise just what a massive achievement this was, bearing in mind the lying, cheating scumbags that are in football. Can you think of any decent people in the limelight, is the question. So, do you want to answer the phone and see what you've got there?
We've got a caller. I'm going to have to call it the original. Hello, Vectus Radio. Who's this?
Steve Goodman.
Hello, Steve. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right.
Jolly good. Talking of boarding up, guess what we were doing at Frank James on Saturday? And this brings me round to you talking about decent service and so on.
Go on.
I think I said to you before that after we had a load of break-ins there, people were able to walk in, basically. We were contacted by somebody from the Isle of Wight whose job is boarding up, and he said, I want to help. I'll come and do it. If I get paid, it's a bonus. So, well done, Richard Manser from Safesight Isle of Wight. So, we did the two worst ones there and then. As things have gone on, as a result of that, we actually got the owners to cough up a little bit of money. That's the first time they've spent money on it since work was first said to be urgent about 2007, 2008. The Society for the Protection of Ancient Buildings contacted us and said, that was a good job, can we give you something towards it as well? And on Saturday, because we got those payments coming through, Richard came back and did the third opening that had been used previously by people getting in illegally. So we've done all those, excuse me, well done, Richard, decent service.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's well, what we like. Decent service. We should come on and big it up. That's wonderful. Just just to go off on a tangent. How I know we spoke a couple of weeks ago about this, but what is the latest situation? What's going on?
Was good news. I was just doing a press release actually, because on Friday, the council wrote to the owners saying, "This is the work we want you to do," and if they don't do it, then the council's likely to do something about it now. Because, again, as a result of what the Friends have been doing, word's got out. We're starting to get help now from other people. English Heritage have been really good. Group called CADO, which stands for, now it stands for something like Community Assets in Difficult Ownership. But they're also saying it could stand for Campaign Against Delinquent Owners. When we started. But anyway, cut long story short, Council and English Heritage and CADO got together and said, look, if we serve an urgent works notice, it's been tried before, and if the owners don't do anything, what are you going to do? The work needs doing. Anyway, cut long story short, they've come up with a formula that can make sure the work gets done and we can recover the money from the owners later if they don't do it. So expect to hear something put better than I've just put it about that coming up soon.
Okay, brilliant.
So that's good news. What else? Oh, Benedict Cumberbatch got a name check earlier.
Yeah.
Turns out he knows about Frank James as well. Because one of the lads who's helping, Josh Aitken, who's been really good, he's done a lot of the films and photos, and he's been keen for years. Since he was age 14, he was a bit worked up about what was happening at Frank James. He lives nearby. Anyway, partly as a result of him doing the Frank James work, he's now got himself a job with the National Trust, and he's working down at Motterston, and who should pop in but Benedict and his new wife, his current wife, or whatever anyone wants to call wives. And they got chatting, and Benedict already knew about Frank James, according to what Josh told us, and had a nice little natter about that. So you never know, we might even get him there as a guerrilla gardener one day. That would be a good photo for the CP, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
They'd love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I remember Josh. Josh, you say he's been 14, so this has all been going on for about 3 years. He's, what, 17 now?
Well, we just had our three-year anniversary. I think that's when I spoke to you, Josh, wasn't it? That was coming
so
up.
So that's a lovely thing when you've got a 14-year-old that is so caring.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and another good thing was a lot of his friends, similar ages, have also turned up on and off to help out with the work. So it's not just a load of old, you talked about grey hair earlier as well, weren't you? It's not just a lot of us old fogies who are concerned about things like old buildings and heritage and whatnot.
Because let's be honest, I mean, it's great that they're getting involved and showing an interest, because, when it comes down to it, you don't want it to be just people of a certain age, us. Because after all, we're doing it for the future, aren't we?
Yep.
And they are the future.
Well, yeah. To me, it's just continuous, past, present, future. It all goes on. People come and go. Something like Frank James is going to outlive everybody, isn't it? It's been around for, 120 years now? And more than that now. But it's perfectly good. It's a good asset. There's no sense in wasting it. If nothing else, why be stupid? Why waste money if you put money and time and effort and materials into producing something worthwhile? Look after it, because it will save you money. That's before you get onto any other consideration, like heritage and aesthetics and architecture and all this stuff. It's just nuts to waste something like that.
Yeah, I think there's a lesson for us all here. I really do. I mean, how many times do you see? And it really kind of irritates me. And we don't ever question things.
Yeah.
Just say for instance, a while ago, Curry's was in a different place. Curry's was where, I don't know how long you lived on the island for, Steve. How long you lived there for?
Full time. I went there in 2009-10.
2009-10. So you may not remember that Curry's originally was where Lidl's is now.
Yeah.
So they had to more or less demolish the inside of the building and most of the outside to get Lidl in, and so on. And you think, right, okay, so that building wasn't massively old anyway, the original building, but we knock it all down, we waste it, and then just take it all off to the dump. There's no think process here at all. So whenever we, you know, there'll be a company that goes up, they build a place, and then somebody else 5 years, you know, in time, 5 years time, they come down and knock it all down, and you think,
well,
right, okay, what a waste.
Doesn't make economic sense, materials. Does it? You do something properly, do it properly, do it well, pay a bit extra to do it in the first place if you have to, then look after it, and you save money. Long term, you save money, and you save time having to faff around, you know, doing unnecessary maintenance and stuff like that. Anyway, I'm rambling.
All right.
Shall I shut up, leave you alone, let you get on with your programme?
Hey, it's nice to hear from you.
Yeah.
You too.
Thanks.
All the best.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank
Cheers.
You.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We should take a quick commercial break now. So,
We can move along. I've got instrumental up at the moment.
Okay, well just click on the commercial break there, push the button, and we should get a break.
Oh, yeah.
Lots and lots of companies that are saying, please buy us, and they're all wonderful, because only the wonderful ones advertise with us.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, well, we'll be right back then.
Yeah.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com. While You Wait Services is a real Aladdin's Cave in Pyle Street, Newport. A truly local business that offers a fabulous, friendly service. Leather repairs, shoe repairs, key cutting for your car, house or shed. In fact, any kind of keys. They're also experts in engraving, house signs, shoe dyeing. They also do zip replacement for that coat you don't want to throw away. A shop for so many uses. While You Wait Services in Pyle Street, Newport. It's the most useful shop in town.
If you're one of those people that has to live life on a tight budget, you might want to take advantage of the £10 meal deal at Hamilton's Fine Foods.
£10 meal deal, I started probably about 2 years ago now, and we've managed to sustain the prices that you still get the full value of that, which is the chicken, the mince, the ham, the sausages, and that chicken will go for a family of four quite easily. You've still got the stock afterwards if you want to, and the bones to make a soup. Sausages obviously is a meal in itself, the ham is another evening meal.
Hamilton's Fine Foods, you'll find them on Daish Way and Pyle Street in Newport, also in Wootton and Cowes too.
Here Estate Agents, independent estate agents covering the Isle of Wight. Call now on 01983 620 062 to take a full advantage of our fantastic commission offer of 1%, no VAT. Also, visit our website www.peerestateagents.co.uk to see helpful advice on selling your home and all of our current properties available. Call today to take full advantage of this limited offer. 01983 620 062 or email inquiries@peerestateagents.co.uk.
Care Learning Centre offers high quality training in real workplaces, giving an authentic working experience. They also offer a functional skills scheme to help with young people's essential maths, English and ICT skills. Get in touch by emailing info@carelearningcentre.co.uk, visit www.carelearningcentre.co.uk or call the centre on 01983 533 993.
Westridge Golf Centre have the island's largest golf store and custom fit centre. Open 364 days a year with a PGA qualified professional always on hand to provide honest and friendly advice. With Price Match Promise, you are sure to get the best customer service as well as value for money. They offer custom fitting on all major brands at no extra cost. But we also cater for the new golfer with individual clubs available from £20 and package sets from £99. www.westridgegolfcentre.co.uk. Westridge Golf Centre, Brading Road in Ryde.
Want to look and feel fantastic for that party or special occasion? Make sure you talk to the girls at Beautify and let Yolanda and her team of experienced therapists work their magic. Beautify offer a wide range of treatments, from massages, eyebrow threading, lash extensions, gel nails, manicure and pedicure, spray tans, and lots more, including permanent cosmetics and teeth whitening. Call Beautify today on 5335 54 or find them at 1 Chain Lane in Newport. Just look for the purple butterfly. Booking is essential. Quote Vectus Radio and you will get £10 off all treatments.
White Office Equipment. We pride ourselves with being able to offer genuine inks from the major manufacturers at very competitive prices. If you can find the same ink anywhere on the island cheaper, then we want to know. As well as original ink, we also offer a range of competitive inks. We're at the High Street in Sandown, opposite Sainsbury's. Come and see us or call 400-045. That's 400-045. She's got the
look. What era are your musical memories from? Maybe you love a bit of the 80s. Perhaps you grew up in the 70s. You may be a child of the 60s, of course. Or possibly the 50s.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock!
Whenever your musical memories come from, there's sure to be plenty of them in the Retro Show. Join me, Kelvin Curry, for 3 hours of magical musical memories every Sunday from noon. The Retro Show, the perfect start to a Sunday afternoon, only on Vectis Radio.
This is Vectis Radio. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Vectis Radio.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
So, we're back.
We're back in the room. At some point, we are going to get Kevin Wilson to come in, because he's emailed me yesterday.
Yeah.
He was talking about a big production that he's going to be doing in the next couple of weeks. So, hopefully, before 1 o'clock, Kevin Wilson, yes, that Kevin Wilson, will come in and tell us all about
it. I'm just pointing at him.
Okay, hopefully he's out in the green room listening right now. But he's here live from 1 o'clock, but he will come in and talk to us very soon. We were talking about trust. Who do you trust? Would you trust Kevin Wilson? Has he got a trusting face?
I don't know. I think Kevin's got quite a... he's got a good voice that makes you kind of trust him. He's quite a... I don't know. He's a charming fellow.
He's northern. I wouldn't trust him. I just got to point out that Maggie Curry is making oxtail soup today in the slow cooker.
Yeah.
I love oxtail soup.
Do you?
I just wonder whether she'll send the sample
like
around.
Soup. I don't like soup. No, I've never really got into soup. I've had it once and I had that horrible stuff you have with bread, that orange stuff.
Oh, with tomato sauce.
Yeah, I think
tomato.
I don't really do the soups, to be honest. No. I'm quite a plain eater and a fussy eater at that.
My wife got some soup the other day. It was quite nice. It was a Thai curry soup or Thai something or other. And it was really nice. And I said, look, you could buy one of these and chop up a load of meat and make a nice little curry out of it, couldn't you? And she said, there is meat in there, you cheeky so-and-so. And I said, well, you must have saved it all for you, because I haven't seen any of it. Anyway, that's not what we were talking about. Trust, again.
See, trust, yeah.
Do you trust your wife when she says, oh, I've given you the best bit. I've given you the best. I've given you more meat. You know, if she's doing a steak, I always get the best bit. Apparently, I get my tape measure out and measure it. I don't trust anybody. And I think that's the best way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't trust politicians.
Yeah, I think trust is a very strong thing. It's the same as respect and, you know, yeah, respect and, yeah, trust.
I want to come on to something really, really heavy in a minute.
Oh.
All right? And it all comes down to the trust thing. Okay?
Okay.
And I honestly, when a politician tells you something, do you believe it? When your mum tells you something, do you believe it? As a kid, I grew up believing my mum.
Yeah.
Okay? When she was 9, she said, no 9-year-old has birthday parties. You're not having one. And if you do, there'll be a spell put on your family. That's what she told me.
Oh, that's horrible. Right.
And she also, I grew up thinking that as well.
Did you?
And what was the other thing? Oh yeah, the tooth. When you have a tooth out, you put it under your pillow.
Yeah, yeah, the tooth fairy comes in. Yeah,
yeah. She told me the tooth fairy was on holiday, and she won't be back until the end of the month. Obviously, payday. I'll work that one out for myself.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say is, you believe there's certain people that you would believe.
Yeah.
That you would trust.
Yeah.
That you know, that even though they might have lied to you, simple white lies, not anything major, but you trust them.
Yeah.
And you do. You trust them with your life. So, but we wouldn't trust a politician. And yet we're all going to turn out in our millions and vote for one, supposedly, in the next little while. Now, what other things do you look at and think, right, okay, you know, do you, when somebody tells you something, do you trust them? Do you go and check it out on Google? And well, do you trust that?
I don't know. With Wikipedia and such, that's someone's opinion or someone's put a bit of information. It's a copy and paste kind of thing, isn't it? I don't know. With parents, I always used to like proving my parents wrong. You know, like saying, you know, with for example, history. You know, I used to love history. My mum used to say, you know, if you pull that face for too long, the wind will change and your face will get stuck.
Yeah.
I used to believe that.
Yeah.
Until eventually I checked it up. And it's not true, obviously, because, you know, I pulled that face for about an hour and a half and it didn't get stuck.
No.
You know, I was also told, you know, if you look up at the sun, you'll go blind. You do actually go partially blind. I did stare up at the sun for about a minute and a half straight trying to prove a point, and I ended up going blind for about half a day.
Right.
I'm one of them daredevil kids that kind of will just put himself in danger just for the fact of trying to prove someone wrong, even if I am wrong. But when my parents, you know, tell me something, I do believe them because they're wise, they're old, and you know, they're my parents.
Okay, and that's basically how it should be when it comes down to it.
Yeah,
the nuts and bolts should be you should respect your elders, and maybe but then maybe believing everything they say is a little bit last week they made a comment, the media was making a comment, BBC making a comment, don't look up at the sun when we saw that partial eclipse. I mean, we couldn't see it here on the island. It was just a load of cloud. We didn't see anything at all.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have got blinded at all. It was complete nonsense. But they were saying don't do faces, that the selfies with the with the eclipse. And you think, right, okay, hang on, how does that work then? Because I'm not actually, it's behind you and you're taking a picture of you. Don't they said they warned people against selfies. I was watching a programme called Vikings yesterday. You seen Vikings?
No, does sound good though.
It's bloodthirsty. It's quite horrible.
Yeah.
But it went back to olden times, and I'm not quite sure. Was it a BD? 647 BC.
BC.
And anyway, they had this guy there. He was showing us in a bog standard way. It was obviously a drama, but he was showing his mate in a bog standard way how to travel from east to west.
Yeah.
Using the sun.
Yeah.
And a wooden thing that he was, you know, that there was a prong on it.
Yeah,
and
the shadow moves.
And the shadow and so on and so forth. It was fascinating to see. And he said, what happens if there's no sun?
Yeah.
And he said, we use this.
The stars, isn't it?
No. Or? He got out this bit of glass, a bit of strange old glass.
Yeah.
And he said, and he pointed it up at the clouds.
Yeah.
And there was no sun because you couldn't see it.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden it found where the sun was because there was a glint on this bit of glass that he used.
Oh.
And I thought, you're going to blind yourself in a minute, mate.
Yeah.
We've been warned about that the other day. You didn't obviously read the memo, did you? Do you want to take that last call?
Yeah, we've got another call.
Okay.
Oh,
they've gone.
Maybe not.
All right, well, they didn't want to hang on. But anyway, you then think, well, who do I trust? Who do I trust? You've got this actor who's got this bit of glass, and it was fascinating. He shone it, saw the sun, he worked out where the sun was.
And didn't go blind.
Time of the day, and he didn't go blind.
Yeah.
So what do you believe? I mean, let's be honest, if you're going to look directly at the sun on a really, really... you are going to give yourself a headache or damage your eyes.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it. But when somebody tells you something, my wife told me last night, she said to me, the world is going to end in a couple of years' time. When I say a couple of years, she meant a couple of billion years.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So not in our lifetime.
Good estimation, but in a few years.
When somebody says that to you,
how
do you know, and do you trust what they're saying?
Yeah.
Do you?
I don't know. I think you can say, I believe you, but you can also kind of just be like, I'm going to search that up and really see. You know, I'm going to get a bunch of opinions and have a look. I mean, we talked about the end of the world before. Obviously, we came on air a little while ago, and we were discussing about the sun blowing up.
Yeah,
you say that you don't believe it, do you? You think it's a kind of a bit of
I'm not a non-believer. What I am saying is how do you know, and do you believe it? Do you trust what they're saying?
Yeah.
Is it someone's opinion? Is it based on fact? If so, where are your facts?
It's a mix of opinion and fact, because every sun has a stage that goes through. You know, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until eventually it kind of implodes, but also absorbs everything around it. So it kind of expands to the point that it can't expand anymore, and then just go into nothing, pretty much. Clap my hands, that's the end. But yeah, I don't think our sun is anywhere near that stage. It's still in its middle stages. Say there's like 100 stages, it's on like 52. It's on step 52. You know, we've got ages.
We're halfway there.
I mean,
they keep saying it's not going to happen in our lifetime. How do they know? Because I'll tell you for why. This thing coming through this window behind me wasn't forecast in a weather forecast earlier today. That
no,
wasn't
all
supposed
cloudy,
to be here until 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is
how can you predict?
You
yeah.
Yeah. If yeah. you can't predict what's going to happen in the next couple of hours
or minutes,
how can you predict what's going to happen in how many 6 billion years?
Yeah.
Who do you trust?
Well, you could say that about Back to the Future, couldn't you? You know, they said about the hoverboards, and you said, you know, they were talking on screens. That was all predicted. It was an idea, yet it's real now.
Lo and behold, there it is. It's real. Bang, it happened.
Well, the hoverboard's actually been made. There is a kind of hoverboard thing that can only work on certain surfaces due to the magnetic thing, but it is real, you know. I think that's the beauty of it. It's someone's idea or someone's creation almost, you know. It's there.
So, it comes down to the question, who do you trust these days?
Yeah.
What do you trust?
To be honest, in my opinion, we shouldn't be worrying about the end of the world because it's not going to happen. The only thing that can end in your world is if you mess it up, really.
Okay.
But, you know.
That seems to be common sense. Now, if you do want to call, you can, but you'd have to hurry up. It's 240666 is the number. We were asking the question, who do you trust? What do you trust? I mean, we could say, let's go to Google and see, you know, if that is a fact or not. I don't. To be honest, when it comes down to the planets out there, the way things move around, yes, there are people that are far more intelligent than you or me that will know quite a bit more. But they don't know everything.
Yeah.
And they seriously don't know everything. So when somebody says to me, the world is going to end in a billion years, I don't believe that's going to be... I mean, yeah, it's all very well saying it's going to end in a billion years.
Yeah.
So what decade are you putting that in? Are you putting that in a decade?
That's like saying about AD and BC, though, isn't it? You know, before Christ and after death, or anti-domino, isn't it? We don't know if we're coming now towards a new millennium or, you know, the whole new circle of things, because every 2150 years the cycle of the universe changes, because obviously everything's all done, as you said, with a cycle almost. It changes, and that's why they thought in 2012 the world was going to end, because it changed. Which I don't know, I think it's all blabber, and you know, people just, oh, it might happen like this, it might happen like that. But I do agree with you, it is mostly people just saying...
It's an opinion.
Yeah, it is. It's an opinion. It's a guess.
It's an opinion. But having said all of that, I was there and with millions of other people, billions of probably around the world in 1999 when there was that eclipse.
Yeah.
I remember going up to Brading Down. Brading has never been so busy.
I remember that. I was a little boy at that point.
There was
just a wee little boy.
Brading Downs was absolutely heaving with people.
With the park as well, they had the little ditch bit that everyone was all laying across and sitting down.
And that was probably the best place to see the eclipse.
Yeah.
Back in 1999. But how wonderful is that? And this is where it kind of, you know, I'm going full circle now, because what I am saying is I don't think that I trust anybody enough to say when they say the world is going to end on that particular date or in a billion years' time. I say prove it. How can you prove it? That's just a big thing.
Yeah, or it's a theory, isn't it?
Most of it comes down to opinion.
Yeah.
But how wonderful it is when somebody can say there's going to be an eclipse on that day. Right, what's going to happen then? Well, that planet there is going to go across that one, and you're not going to be able to see that other one there.
Yeah.
And it happened to the second. And when you look at that, you think, that is remarkable. So on
that's
one
because
hand,
it's on a cycle, though.
On one hand, I poo-poo it.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I think, how remarkable is that? And
so
that's someone's intelligence. So we should never, although we, you know, we're questioning the trust.
Yeah.
We shouldn't
always just say no to everything and
absolutely
not believe it. Yeah.
Absolutely. But how amazing is that? And the same thing kind of happened on Friday. Okay.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: not many people saw it.
Yeah.
Because it was cloudy.
Yeah.
Because the weather people, those people that are looking into the future,
yeah,
they didn't predict all that cloud, because they were telling us on Monday, Tuesday, the best place to see it, south, down in south. And we didn't see it.
Yeah.
And that was only 2 or 3 days before. So if you got that wrong, how much other stuff are you getting wrong?